The text is the gospel reading, but I'm reading the verse right before the text. I'm including that. Jesus says, "But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed and ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect it." Here ends the text. Everyone thinks their heart is in the right place. But is it? Is it when you hear this text? Let me give you a test. The test only has a few questions, but it actually shows where your heart is. The first question is, do you take seriously the commands of the law found in this text? There are four imperatives or commands. The first command is seek the kingdom of God. Seek God's kingdom, not one of your own. Seek the kingdom where God rules, not you. God doesn't command you to be rich, to be successful, or to be powerful. He commands you, seek his kingdom. You must seek God's kingdom. And his kingdom is not an earthly one. If it were an earthly kingdom, your seeking would have some of the nobility of a quest about it. If it were an earthly kingdom, you could build it, and people would see it being built. People would admire its progress and praise its beauty. But a kingdom not of this world is not praised by the world. This shouldn't surprise us. The kingdom we are commanded to seek has a king who is crucified in and by this world. It is a kingdom of losers. That's what St. Paul says. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. Buddha, by contrast, is considered wise by the world. Allah, by contrast, is considered powerful. Our God is crucified. His kingdom bears the sign of the cross. Is your heart in the right place? Does it hear the command to seek God's kingdom? And does it hear the twofold command to sell your possessions and give to the poor? Did you catch that? Jesus doesn't here command us to give to his church. He doesn't here command us to give to build his kingdom. He doesn't here command us to give to missions. He commands us to give to the poor. And it's not just the command, give to the poor, but sell your possessions. Your heart all right with that? I can give to the poor, and I might even be able to sell my possessions. But selling my possessions and giving to the poor, that breaks my heart. I feel like that rich young man whom Jesus told to sell his possessions and follow him. Scripture says when the young man heard this, his countenance fell and he went away sorrowful. I'm very attached to what I have because, like the fool from last week, I think that my life comes from my possessions. Selling my possessions, well, that's selling my life. And giving away the proceeds, that's giving away my life. Surely Jesus must mean I'm supposed to give to the poor as much as I can. Okay, maybe I should give more than I do. Maybe a lot more. But he can't really mean sell all my possessions and give it all to the poor. That's just not doable to my sinful heart. But that is the law. And that is the whole point. The main function of the law is to show us where our hearts are to be and where they really are. Our hearts are to be on His kingdom and not on our possessions. Our hearts are to recognize that any treasure we accumulate here is going to run out, and it is susceptible to be stolen by thieves or destroyed by moths. Therefore, if your heart is on what wears out, can be stolen from you, and is able to be destroyed, that is what's going to happen to your heart. For as goes your treasure, so goes your heart. Is your heart in the right place? Does it take seriously the Lord's commands to seek His kingdom, to sell your possessions, to give to the poor, and to stand ready for your Lord's return? I'll bet you're better prepared for school to begin than for Jesus to return. I'll bet you have your fall clothes ready, but not what you have to be dressed in to welcome Jesus. I'll bet you've got a flashlight lined up in case the power is going to go out. Yet you don't even know where your lamp to welcome your Lord Jesus is, let alone have it burning. Talk about foolish. The return of Jesus is when your soul is going to be required of you. And that is more certain than night coming or school opening. Yet you think there's no need to make yourself ready. You get ready for school and night. You get everything ready to safeguard your possessions. Your thoughts are focused on tomorrow, even though your Lord has told you again and again that you are not guaranteed a tomorrow at all. What He does guarantee is that He is coming for you soon, at an unknown time, just like a thief would. So, is this where your heart is? Is your heart on the commands to seek His kingdom, to sell your possessions, to give to the poor, and to stand ready for His return? Right now, many of your hearts are here. And the problem is, they're going to stay here. You will leave here thinking Christianity is about having your heart attuned to the laws of God. You will think you're a Christian because you are determined to seek His kingdom, determined to sell your belongings, determined to give to the poor, and determined to be ready for His return. If your heart remains in this place, you are toast because you've made Jesus into a new lawgiver, a second Moses. Even though you don't and can't keep the Ten Commandments of Moses, you somehow think adding three more from Jesus is going to help. The right place for your heart to rest isn't in the commands of Jesus that show you how sinful you are. The right place for your heart is in the promises of the gospel that show you how merciful and forgiving God in Christ is to sinners. Hear again this text as the Lord means for you to hear it. Let the law plunge you, your heart to hell with all of its demands, but have the gospel lift your heart to heaven too. First comes the command, you must seek the kingdom of God. Now if you're honest, you fail miserably at doing that. But the very next words out of our Lord's mouth are, don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Say you've bought your spouse, your child, or your parent a real special gift. You can't wait to give it to them, can you? In fact, in some cases, you give it to them early, don't you? In situations like this, should the person you're giving the gift to worry that you might not give it? Are you crazy? You can't wait for them to have it. So it is with the kingdom of God, purchased and won for you by the innocent life and holy sufferings and death of His Son. The perfect obedience of Jesus, the fact that He always sought the kingdom, that enables the Father to give us the kingdom we don't seek as we should. The terrible, painful sufferings of Jesus paid for our ignoring the kingdom or trying to build our own. All of God's wrath against us sinners has been satisfied, and He gives the kingdom to us, not grudgingly, but with good pleasure. Don't let your heart find rest in the commandments of God. Find rest in what Jesus did for you and gives to you. Take the command to stand ready for your Lord's return. Now, how can you rest in that? If you try, you're going to become an obsessive compulsive about being ready. You'll become a Christian survivalist, thinking that if you're not ready every second, you might be lost. Would you do that to your child? When returning from a trip, would you tell them, unless they meet you at the door, they don't get the gift you're bringing? Now, you know you might do that. You might do that if you wanted to show an arrogant child that he can't be as ready as he thinks he can. But you would never do that to the timid child who confessed he was never ready enough. Your heart is in the right place when you're resting in the gospel. In the gospel, you are not waiting for a thief to take something away from you, but for a Lord to give something to you when he returns from a wedding banquet. Now, Jesus could have said that in the parable, wait like men waiting for their master to return from work, or to return from court, or to return from war. But he didn't. He said, be like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet. How many wedding receptions have you returned from in a bad mood? Wedding receptions are usually great times. Little children expect their parents to come home happy from a wedding reception. You're waiting for a happy Jesus to return. He returns not from the agony of the cross or the damnations of hell, but from the wedding supper of the Lamb, where angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven are celebrating. Moreover, not only are you expecting a happy Jesus, but you're expecting the Jesus who is happy with you. Jesus willingly kept all the laws you cannot keep and willingly bore your sin and death. He doesn't return for you holding a grudge, but holding forgiveness, life, and salvation in his nail-pierced hands. How can we not but wait eagerly and peacefully for such a Jesus as this? Is your heart in the right place? Is it resting in your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom and your Jesus happily returning for you? But even that's not the sweetest gospel in this text. The sweetest is the returning master serving them. You know when you've hit on the gospel when it sounds too good to be true. What I mean is that the disciples know masters don't do this. Earthly masters didn't have their servants recline at table for a festive meal, dress themselves to serve them, and then go and wait on them. But our Jesus does just that every Sunday, doesn't he? What else is the Lord's Supper? Doesn't he serve us at this table? Doesn't he give us his body for bread and his blood for wine? Doesn't he forgive our sins, restore our lives, and give us salvation here? The possessor of all things comes here and serves us. If this doesn't give us a different view of possessions and poverty, nothing can. What can I possibly lack if I return from this table with the body and blood of God in me? I come away with a heavenly treasure here on earth that can never fade away, be destroyed, or be stolen from me. Who on earth is not poorer than me? Is your heart in the right place? It is when your treasure is what God gives to you and what Jesus does for you. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.